The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on the 6th day of April. Great. 2023, Thursday. And tonight we have, well, our engineer and producer tonight is none other than Style.
Good evening, Pastor.
And tonight we have my co-host. It's his time of month. None other than that naturopathic doctor, Dr. Peter Glidden.
Ernie Sanders, he's our man. If he can't do it, no one can. How are you, Pastor?
Oh, I'm doing all right. Now, boy, I'm going to tell you, you waxed well elegantly tonight. So,
well, it is a full moon, so I'm full of it tonight.
All righty, there you go. That's what Donald Trump's been saying about Obama Biden. He's full of it. Anyhow, we got a whole lot to talk about tonight, so we might as well get into it. The title of my message this week, Peter, was The Undeniable Account of Messiah's Death. Now, you know, we're going to take a witness the New Testament fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecy of the death of Messiah. There is nothing, absolutely positively nothing, as accurate and as precise as true as the Word of God. Now, Peter, I would guess, and this is just a guesstimate for me, that at best, maybe 5% of the American populace has the slightest notion of just how miraculous is the prophetic accuracy of the King James Bible. They have no idea what they have when they're holding one, what is in their hands. If you ask the vast majority, especially the younger people out there today, what is more accurate, where will you find the greatest source of knowledge, God's Word, the Bible, or AI? I would guess that the majority of them would say artificial intelligence takes precedent over God. That's my guess, and I would love to be wrong about that, but I don't think I am.
I think you're 100% correct.
Yeah, and you know, the irony is this: the vast majority of people on the earth today are going to go to hell by choice. They're going to go to hell for rejecting the Word of God. The Bible says in Hosea chapter 4, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Now, we have a precedent for that. We have a real precedent for that. At the flood in the days in Genesis chapter 6, here, about 8 billion people perished. That didn't have to. They didn't have to. They were given the opportunity not to, but they chose to perish. And again, the Bible says that my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Well, we've been going through Scripture here, and we started looking at the facts with the triumphant entrance into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, and then we took a good look at the betrayal by a friend who would ate with the Lord, and then we took a good look at the profound grief and agony that our Lord went through. And tonight we're going to pick it up where our Lord is betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. Now this prophecy takes place 500 years before it happens, before it became real. And we start tonight in Zechariah chapter 12, and we read, chapter 11 and verse 12. And I said unto them, if you think good, give me the price, if not, forbear. So they weighed for my price 30 pieces of silver. Now, here, 30 pieces of silver was the value placed on a slave that had been gored by an ox. And here, he, in this next verse, he is being sarcastic. He's being very sarcastic by saying, yeah, I guess it's a goodly price, right? He says, and the Lord said unto me, cast it unto the potter, a goodly price. In other words, he's making a very, very sarcastic remark about the price, because this really applies in looking to the future of the Messiah. That I was praised of them, and I took the 30 pieces of silver and cast them to the potter in the house of the Lord. So here now, again, this is the first verse, verse 12, was talking about the betrayal for the 30 pieces. The second verse, verse 13, is the dispositions, of the betrayal money, again. And so now we see this here, and then 500 years after that, we go to Matthew, over in Matthew chapter 26. And in Matthew chapter 26, we read in verses 14 and 15. And one of the 12 called Judas Iscariot went into the chief priests and said unto them, what will you give me? And I will deliver him unto you. And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time, he sought opportunity to betray him. So we
That's
see
quite
it.
A coincidence.
Yeah. But then when we look at the disposition here, if we go over to Matthew 27, the next page, and in Matthew 27, verses 3 through 7, I believe, Matthew 27, verses 3 through 7, we read this. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, he saw that he was condemned, repented himself, and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple, and departed, and went and hanged himself. And the chief priests took the silver pieces which he had. It is not lawful for to put them into the treasury, because it is the price of blood. And they took the counsel and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. Wherefore the field was called the field of blood. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken of Jeremy the prophet, saying, and they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was valued, whom they of the children of Israel did value. And of course we just read that too in Zechariah 11:12. And he gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord appointed them. So again, we see this accuracy, and as we were looking, going through this, it's just amazing. Now, as we got to Isaiah, we were just short of 800 years prior to it actually being, the prophecy actually being fulfilled. Now here, going back, where we see that he was forsaken by his disciples, back in Zechariah over in, and where did I go? Back in Zechariah. I'm handicapped still. You probably didn't know, but I had a complete shoulder replacement since I talked to you last.
And, I'm kidding.
Yeah. And so I got to, the complete thing. And what I have to do is turn the pages with one hand, because the others, you have it in this big sling, which is not a hard thing. But these pages in this Bible are so thin that they stick together. It's really, normally you can kind of take your thumbs and open the pages, but it's very difficult. But that's why it's taken me so long. But going over here, now we see where he was forsaken by his disciples. Again, 500 years earlier, as we go to Zechariah chapter 13, and we read verses 7 through 9. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn mine hand upon the little ones. And so here now, as we take a look, we go back to Matthew 26, and in Matthew 26, here, verses 55 and 56, we see, in the same hour, said Jesus to the multitudes, you are come out as against a thief with swords and with staves for to take me. I sat daily with you, teaching you in the temple, and you laid no hold on me. But all that was done and the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. And so here again, 500 years later, it's fulfilled completely and totally accurately. And then we can go and look at, now we're going to jump ahead 1,000 years, and we go and we look at accused by false witnesses, and we go over to Psalm chapter 35. And it, again, takes me a little while. Okay, in Psalm 35, we're reading how in verses 11 and 12, false witness did arise up, and they laid to my charge things that I knew not. They rewarded me evil for good, to the spoiling of my soul. And then we see here again, in Matthew, going back to Matthew chapter 26, it's just an amazing accuracy of God's word, the Bible. And back in Matthew 26 again, we see verses 55 and 56. Okay. We read this. No, that's not my verse. Oh, Matthew 26:59 is what I wanted to see. Well, let me go here to verse 57 first. And they that had laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But Peter followed him afar off into the high priest's palace, and went in, and sat with his servants to see the end. Now the chief priests and the elders and all the council sought false witness against Jesus and to put him to death, but found none. Yea, through many false witnesses came ye, and found they none. And at the last came two false witnesses, and said, this fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days. So again, we see this here. This prophecy fulfilled after 1,000 years. Now, the greatest prophecy fulfilled would be in Genesis 3:15, where it was made 4,000 years in advance. And again, the vast majority of people in this country are absolutely clueless. They have the complete account that what has happened in the past, what is currently taking place, is literally spelled out for them, and what will happen in the future. And the vast majority of are totally and completely oblivious to that. And then I wanted to go one more time. I'm going to go backwards this time. And here, silent before his accusers, I want to go to Matthew 27. And in Matthew 27, here, I want to look at the verses 11 through 14. And Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, Art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus said unto him, Thou sayest. And when he had accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered him nothing. And then said Pilate unto him, Hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee? And he answered him to never a word, insomuch the governor marveled. And of course, that is exactly what you have over in Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 53. Now, it's an interesting thing about Isaiah chapter 53. And that is, you won't ever hear, this is very seldom, if ever, read it in synagogues. And do you know why that is, Peter?
Why?
Well, because one, now, with the exception, when I was in Israel recently, or the last time they had, I ran into a number of professing Orthodox Jews who said to me that they acknowledged, yes, in fact, Jesus is the Messiah, and this was Christ that was being described in Isaiah 53. But
really?
But for most of them, they say no. In other words, most of Orthodox Jewry said that Isaiah 53 is not identifying an individual, but it's actually referring to the nation of Israel, which is really hard to believe, okay? And let me tell you why. Let's go through here. I'm going to read verses 3 through 7. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. As we hid, as it were, our faces from him, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. So, if it was, in fact, the nation of Israel, as they believe, or as they say, then they're saying that they hid their faces from themselves, and they esteemed themselves not, right?
Right.
And then it goes on to say, Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions and was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord had laid upon him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. So there, that was the prophecy. That was fulfilled 800 years later in Matthew chapter 27. So there you go. We're going to stop right there for tonight. And going to, well, let's get into, what are you going to talk about tonight?
Well, what I'd like to know, finishing up on the last segment, is the future, Pastor. What does the future hold?
Well, actually, if you can start with where we're at right now. And you'll find that if you go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, it's like a timeline. That's exactly where we're at here. You're seeing it describes perfectly the days we're living in here. And then from 2 Timothy chapter 3, You take it over to Romans chapter 1. And in Romans chapter 1, you see the days that we're, again, very clear that we're living in, starting with here. Well, let me just take it over to Romans chapter 1 very quickly and start with just in verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Have you noticed how there's such a dearth of truth? Have you listened to the mainstream media out there?
It's unbelievable.
Have you listened to Joe Obama, Biden? Unbelievable. These people can't tell the truth. They can't tell the truth. Because that which is maybe known of God, God has manifested them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even the eternal power of the Godhead, so they are without excuse. In other words, here, what are they talking about? What do we have today? You've got these climate change. They worship the environment. They worship the environment. They worship the creature more than the creator. And because they that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Have you ever seen so many fools in government? Have you ever seen this?
No, I haven't. And it's a remarkable thing when that wool gets pulled from your eyes. It's a ship of fools. It's unbelievable.
I'm going to play a little clip. And if you want to hear a little clip of something, Style, I'm going to move up that first clip of Matt Walsh, the one that's like 5 minutes or something, the debate with the tranny. Okay, let's go to that. Let's play that, and then we'll play that second clip coming out of the 11 o'clock hour. But Peter, listen to this. Now, if you want to hear, let me read this again. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into the image made like unto corruptible men and birds and four-footed beasts and creepy things. Go ahead, whenever you get that potted up, and let her rip. And Peter,
define.
Go ahead. Okay. Peter, listen carefully to this. This is a debate between Matt Walsh and this fool who thinks he's pretty wise guy. Go ahead and let her rip.
Define a woman, because you've asked other people up here to define how we would define a woman. How would you define a woman, Mr. Walsh?
An adult human female.
And how don't trans people, how doesn't a transgender woman fit that definition?
Female. Because they're not female. They have, you said that you are a biological male, correct?
I said I'm transgender. I might be intersex for all we know. About almost as many people in the world are transgender as intersex. And
well,
a lot of people don't know.
Well, but that's a different conversation. Intersex, that's a genetic anomaly. That's a medical condition. So that's a completely different conversation. That's also not a third gender. That's just a genetic anomaly that occurs within the sex binary of male and female. What you're saying is that a quote-unquote trans woman is a female?
By the definitions I'm familiar with, yes.
So how would you define female?
Through my training in healthcare, there are several different categories for how we define sex. People bring up chromosomes. People also bring up hormone levels. People bring up all sorts of other categories. Lots of people don't fit neatly into a gender binary, even people we don't consider to be intersex. It's a complicated spectrum.
It's not complicated, but you also didn't define. So what is a woman? What is a female? What do these words mean?
It's complicated, and I know you're not going to like that answer, but that's because there are no simple answers in human biology.
Let me ask you a question.
You guys,
let
me finish. You guys like to bring up high school level biology classes a lot. I get that a lot. But people who go on to more complicated biology classes will talk about sex as a spectrum.
It's not. It's not.
Well, biological researchers would disagree with
the ones that would say that. There's... Look. There are...
All right.
There are male gametes and female gametes. Oh, I had one last question.
Wait, Mr. Walsh, can I ask a question?
I just have one quick... Can you come back for 1 second? Because this is an important question. You said you're an EMT.
Yes.
Okay, if you're responding to a health emergency, biological male, somebody with a penis is having a medical emergency, and they say to you, I think I'm having a miscarriage. Would you check them to see if they're having a miscarriage? Would you consider that a possibility for them?
Look. No, but that's because some people don't have body parts. Doesn't mean they're not a woman.
Okay. Sounds like we've established there are some people who, in principle, can get pregnant, and there are some people who can't. So there's two categories, otherwise known as binary.
Lots of women can't get pregnant either.
Yeah, but they're still of the nature to get pregnant. The only
but
reason...
But they can't get pregnant.
Yes, but
truth matters, right?
It does. That's what I'm trying to explain to you.
Truth matters, and they can't get pregnant. That's the truth. So how are they still women?
Because they are for the same reason that I can rightly say that human beings have two legs. And if a person is born with only one leg, that doesn't call into question the statement that human beings have two legs. Okay? A person being born with one leg doesn't mean that now legs are on a spectrum and we can't say we can't say anything at all about how many legs a person has. Who knows? They could be a centipede. You know, they could have 100 legs. No, we know human beings have two legs. If a human is born without two legs, something went wrong. They were supposed to have that second leg. Something went wrong. If you meet a person on the street who only has one leg, maybe they had an accident. Maybe they were in war. Maybe they were in a car accident. Maybe they had cancer. A leg was cut off. But you know that something went wrong because by their nature, they're supposed to have two legs. Same thing for a woman. A woman by her nature can get pregnant. A man by his nature never can. So if you meet a woman of childbearing age, say she's 28 years old, and she can't get pregnant, you know automatically that something has gone wrong. And she can go to the doctor and find out what that thing is, even if they can't fix it. So that proves that women by their nature can get pregnant because the simple fact that she can't shows you that there is something wrong. This is what is known as the exception that proves the rule. Whereas if a male with a penis can't get pregnant, no doctor on earth is going to run tests to see what's wrong with him. Because they already know it's that he's a male, and there's only male and female, those who can get pregnant and those who can't. So, all right, that's it. That's...
Had this crazy dream about some folks who love this country who all began to dream the same dream. And when the morning came, there arose across this nation people thinking one and the same. And they awoke to find their freedoms and all their liberties had gradually been taken away. And when they realized the danger to their posterity, I heard those patriotic people say, we want this country back. We ain't just joking
awaken, we're madder than hell now, and we ain't gonna take it anymore. When the stars and stripes forever symbolized her glorious name, America. But now it's all been changed, and when we gaze upon old glory, it's hard to fight back feelings of shame. We're fed up with lying politicians and greedy corporations who have sold us out time and again. And we're sick and tired of sending our soldiers off to wars that we were never meant to win. We want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back. Right, and our victory's on the way, and we won't give up the fight till we hear 200 million say, we want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back, and we ain't taking any more flack. And we're madder than hell now, and we ain't gonna take it anymore. No, we're not gonna take it anymore. That's right, we're not gonna take it anymore. We said we're not gonna take it anymore. That's right, we're not gonna take it anymore. We said we're not gonna take it anymore. That's right, we're not gonna take it anymore.
No, we're not gonna take it anymore. Peter, did you ever notice something that when you had a conversation with a Democrat or what they call themselves progressives, that you walk away feeling personally, intellectually superior, like Matt Walsh? You say, here, when I was in third grade, I had an intellect in a sense higher than every single Democrat congressman or senators, in the sense that when I was in third grade, if you'd asked me what a woman was, I would have told you, well, women can be sisters, women can be mothers, women can be grandmothers, women can be aunts, women can be wives. And I knew every one of those was a woman. I knew what a woman, you know what, I could tell you. And if they would have said to me in third grade, is a woman a male or a female, I would have known. I would have said a woman is a female, you see, a female adult. I knew that, right? You know what? Not one single Democratic congressman has admitted to knowing that. Did you know that?
Yeah, it's a ship of fools. It's a race to the bottom. And for some reason, these people are more concerned with their likes on social media and how many people are following them than they are about truth and doing the right thing for their constituents. And it is just, you know, the older that I get, I'm a big Republican fan, and I know that there is a real Republican base in the world, in the United States of America. But I think in D.C., I think it's a two-headed monster. I don't really think there is a distinction, maybe with a couple of people. Maybe there's a couple of people that are actual true Republicans.
I would say this is what we have. I would actually say, give an estimate in the Congress, probably between 15% and 20% in the Congress, and maybe real hardcore Republicans in the Senate, I would say maybe 10%. And because I know those people, like the ones like Jim Jordan, like Ted Cruz. You know, when they have been really, what you haven't seen are the congressional hearings that have been taking place. I don't know, are you aware of that in the last 2 weeks?
Yeah, I've watched snippets from them, yeah.
I mean, they have gone, Rand Paul, Ted Cruz, Josh Hawley, I mean, Jim Jordan, Matt Gaetz, they have really gone after the communists. I mean, big time. But you won't see any of that in what is called the mainstream media. You just won't see it. Just like what would happen, well, when Nancy Pelosi was speaking, I don't know if you saw that, but she was booed and booed and booed by, guess what? By Democrats, by anti-war Democrats. They stood up and they come up and they had to remove them one at a time, at a time. The only place you saw that was on Fox News and the other social media, but you wouldn't have seen it if it hadn't been for, you didn't see not even a minute of it on the what they call the mainstream media.
Yeah, the Fourth Estate is gone. The Fourth Estate is dead. There is no more objective mainstream media. We have to hunt and peck for our information, and this stood out boldface in COVID times. And, you know, I think it's getting worse, Pastor. I don't think it's getting better.
Well, I think it's changing in the sense that with the mainstream media, we're getting more and more. Look, here, especially with Twitter now, as you come out here, Elon Musk has come out and labeled NPR as state media, as state. So, you know, that's what they've always been. NPR is objecting to be called state media, even though they're funded by the federal government, and they're denying it. And it's an amazing thing because we are seeing everywhere we look now on the social media, they're talking about how here all of these things that Biden is trying to blame. The evacuation of Afghanistan on Trump. They're trying to blame that on Trump. Everything, all these things they're trying to blame on Trump. And I think Trump is having a field day rope-a-doping the dopes. He's rope-a-doping. Pardon?
I hope so. I hope you're right.
I think he is. Yeah, I think I am.
I mean, there's no way Trump's going to get a fair trial in New York. That's just not going to happen. I mean, the best he can hope for, I think, if they keep the venue in New York, is a hung jury.
Yeah, but you see, they don't have to keep it. He could have it moved out of there. First of all, he doesn't even have to go there. He can actually refuse to go, and he will not be extradited. DeSantis said he would allow no extradition, okay? But Trump is going there voluntarily, and all of this is, look what happened here with Bragg. Bragg has lost all credibility. Even his own are throwing him under the bus now. Even the Democrats are calling him the dumbest prosecutor in the country.
That's quite an epithet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, right? Yeah, that's a low bar anyway.
Yeah, it is. And so, and here now, that crooked judge, what has happened, he knew there were a number of the liberals, actual liberals, had warned that crooked judge if they put a gag order on Trump, because they're worried now, because already you have a number of red state attorney generals looking to go after Joe Obama, Biden, and the Clintons. In other words, the Democrats are saying, look what you've done. You've woken a sleeping giant. And now,
that'd be great.
Now they're out for blood. And so now a number of Democrats have actually told that corrupt judge there that if he put a gag order on Trump, they would come after him to get him removed. And so he backed off. Yeah.
Well, interesting days. Interesting days. I hope that we crest the hill and start moving into the light here quickly.
Well, we know in God's Word, the Bible, what is coming. I mean, the future is literally spelled out for us. And from this point, any day now, any time, the rapture of the church could take place. I mean, there's nothing that has to happen before that. And it's imminent that it will. And all of the signs of the end time, in other words, the Bible says, just prior to that time when it happens, that the world would become totally corrupted. Now, let me ask you a question. Is our government, has it become totally corrupted?
100%.
It's unbelievable how corrupt it is. Just unbelievable. If you take a look, let's just say, I said, hey, Peter, I'll tell you what. Do you feel like maybe going and shooting some children or something? Just, you know, for the thrill of it. We can do that. We can go to Chicago, and we can shoot some children and probably, you know, be out. If we do get arrested, we can be out in a couple hours. All you got to do is pay off the right people there, and they'll let you right out. They do that all the time. You got gangbangers shooting each other, and they're back on the street within an hour.
Anything about the new mayor in Chicago? You heard any scuttlebutt about the new mayor in Chicago?
Yeah, he's worse than the old one, believe it or not.
That's hard to believe.
What he did was they, I don't know how he rigged that election. He was way behind the other guy, way behind him, until the very end. And, you know, doesn't that work that way with the Democrats?
100% every time.
Yeah.
Vote early and vote often.
Yep. Absolutely. And so, but he was major anti-cop, very, you know, defund the cop guy, very strong on going after the victim, letting the perpetrator free, and then going after the victim, just like this Bragg in Manhattan. He's the same way. You have a very virtually, this is why, look at the cities. You know, the Democrats, the earliest city we see it inhabited by Democrats was, besides Babylon itself, was Sodom and Gomorrah. And since then, what gravitates towards big cities? They become more and more corrupt. In the big cities, the most corrupt people always gravitate. This is where you have crime, where you have prostitution, where you have murder, where you have theft, and usually in these blue state cities, these major cities, you'll find a Democrat in charge of all of that. It's just absolutely, but it's worse now than it's ever been. This is a sign of the. And all around the world, though, things are happening. Like, did you know that the Antichrist persecution of the church is greater than it's ever been? But you won't. You'll only hear about that on programs like this. You won't hear any of that on the fake news media. They don't even want to talk about the persecution of Christians.
And yeah, then so, let's especially not talk about the persecution of Christians in China.
Absolutely. And North Korea. North Korea is one of the worst.
One of the worst. Yep.
Hey, you know what?
This is happening in the 21st century. This wasn't the 21st century that I thought we were going to grow up into.
Well, you know, it's not. But look at here. Look at what you have out there. And we talk about this all the time. God gave us the natural herbs. Okay. The devil, there's actually a big pharmaceutical company are growing now that is called, their actual name is Pharmakia. That's their actual name. Yeah. And they're so in other words, when they're telling you right out in front and they're boasting, yeah, we're practicing witchcraft and wizardry, and they're boasting it about it. That tells you that the signs of the times that we're in, okay? And so we're
from the
we're
Department
seeing
of Redundancy Department. Yeah, it's crazy, yeah. Pastor. Oh, by the way, I just looked into the order that I placed. For some reason, on the last show, after the last show, I forgot to send you books. So I've got 100 books being due to be delivered to your place tomorrow.
All right. Very good.
So stay tuned.
Well, I thank you so much because we need them. We got a lot of orders that are on back order. And so,
you know what the other thing about this is from my point of view, I have a unique point of view being a licensed naturopathic doctor and having 34 years of clinical experience actually helping, real people with real disease to attempt to recover from the disease. I have a very unique perspective on all things medical. Not very many people have my perspective, and it's not because there's anything great about me. It's just the nature of the work that I do, right?
Right.
And I have to tell you, the socialization of people around the world concerning medicine has gone really, really, really deep. Because let me tell you kind of sort of how it goes. And I have as part of the subscription on my website,
we just dropped. Hopefully he'll reconnect. Hopefully he finds out in a hurry he's disconnected. Because often what'll happen, by the way, folks, we have Dr. Peter Glifton, naturopathic, and he has written a book that is a real hot selling book. It's called Attempt a Cure with Holistic Medicine. And let me tell you what's so great about this book. He starts from and goes to A to Z. And he shows you just about every kind of ailment that's in there. Now, he starts off by telling you understanding the word cure. See, there's a difference between curing the disease and treating the disease. And so today, modern medicine, they don't cure the disease. They simply treat it. And they treat it mostly with drugs. And when I talk about pharmakia, and you look at the commercial now, if you want to know why the mainstream media, including Fox News, is so eager to push the drugs, the pharmakia, on people, just look at who's advertising in the morning and in the evening news. All of these drugs. Brought to you by Pfizer, brought to you by Pfizer, brought to you by Moderna, okay? All of these drugs being pushed and promoted and pushed upon you, and that's the big money. That's the cash cow for NBC, ABC, CBS, CNN. And here, God has given us the natural herbs, and this is what he shows you in this book, how to treat, in other words, how to actually cure the disease instead of treating the disease. And so and he also takes a look at the scientific cult of atheism and the genesis of the medical meritocracy. And I'm hoping he'll give us a call back, because it's possible he's talking and does not know that he's been cut off. And then it's possible he's been cut off, and he can't. He's trying to reconnect and is having a problem trying to reconnect. So, anyhow, that's what's going on there. And while we're waiting for that, I wanted to just let you folks know. People ask me, Pastor, would you give out the address of your church? And so I'm going to do that for the folks up here in Northeast Ohio and Pennsylvania, Michigan. The address is Doers of the Word Baptist Church at 14781 Sperry, Sperry Road. That's Sperry Road, Newberry. That's Newbury, Ohio. Our zip code is 44065. So, also, our phone number there to church is 440-338-1367. Again, that's 440-338-1367. I know I forget to do this a lot, to give that out. People keep wanting me to. or 440-338-1036. That's 440-338-1036. Now, also, I need to tell you, too, that Salem Communications has made, they have given us an offer to help us. They want to help us out in this ministry. In fact, they want to try to increase. Now, you know we had to go off those six stations. We're so close to being able to go back on two of them right away, okay? And that's in Arkansas, the station out there in Little Rock, and the station out in Portland, Oregon. Both of those stations actually is less than $20,000. If we get donations of $20,000 for either one of those, we could go back on those stations. And that's two. Now, in Florida, it's a little different. We would need a little bit more. I don't have that right here now, but we would need a lot more than that in Florida. And so, but we could go back on these stations. Also, we could get back on in Denver. And, you know, I know you folks out there, I got a lot of letters, and I really appreciate your letters. And I know many of you say, well, at least we can get you on the Internet, but it's very inconvenient. We can't listen to you while we're in the car on the Internet. Actually, you really can if you have a smartphone. If you have one of these smartphones, there's a number of, you can go to iHeartRadio. You can go to thewordcleveland.com. There's about five or six different apps you can put on your phone where you can pick us up. Just WHKW 1220 on your smartphones, no matter where you're at there. But I know it's very convenient, and I know a lot of you, especially people my age, aren't on the Internet, and they don't even have televisions, and I don't blame them for that. But they really miss us, and I miss them too, and I just praise the Lord that they're still writing me letters, and we do pray for each and every one of them. Folks, that's what we did this morning. We were in for several hours praying for people. And so, all right, we're back. Peter, are you there?
I'm sorry, Pastor. I got cut off. I'm pretty sure it was the NSA.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it. Okay. Anyhow, I was telling them. I was telling them about your book, Attempt a Cure, and I was explaining the difference between curing an ailment and treating the ailment. Okay. And how much time?
By the way, here's a fun fact to know and tell, and I know we're coming up to a hard break pretty quick. But in the United States of America, this is how deep the corruption is in medicine. Most people are unaware of this. In the United States of America, believe it or not, the only thing that can legally treat a disease is a drug.
Yeah, I know that. How much time do I have? Okay, all right, we know that. Coming up, and when we come back from the break, before we go into the other clip, we want to talk about how people have lost trust in their doctors. Be back right after this. Got a whole lot more, and this is big news. Be right back with a whole lot. Don't go away. More to come.
Fight the fight.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. TheWordCleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.